Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Welcome in, everyone. Happy Thursday. Got a beautiful day here in our Amherst studios. Of course, I am not at camp. We will hear from our own Sal Capaccio a little bit later on as he is watching day number two of practice over at St. John Fisher. But you are listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Zach Jones here solo today. Josh Schmidt is enjoying a wonderful vacation. He'll be back next week. But we have got some camp stuff to talk about. Yesterday, day number one was going on during the show. Today, day number two going on during the show. But we learned, I think, maybe not a lot, because it is very, very early in the process. I mean, literally yesterday was day one. There is no pads. There is nothing like that. But I think the fact that they did so much red zone work and that they showed how much they wanted to spread the ball around on offense, I do think speaks volumes. With how early they wanted to do it. The fact of the matter is the offense was off to a very, very quick start to camp, I think does speak volumes. And it's been something I've been saying much of this offseason. I wouldn't say it's all of it, but really since the draft, I've been saying, I think this Bills team wants to get to a point where it's feeding the masses, that they spread the wealth. They are not zeroing in so much on one guy being the dominant force on the offense. It can look great, looks awesome, it is awesome, but it oftentimes does not actually equal success. What does is having a really good one and a really good number two or a really good number three to allow you to spread the ball around. Now, I understand the fears of, but Zach, do they actually have a number one? Do they actually have a go-get-em guy, a guy that is going to cause nightmares for defensive coordinators or defensive players? I would argue, yes, it's Dalton Kincaid, though. It's not a wide receiver. It is a second-year tight end. But as I've mentioned a number of times before, I believe tight ends are growing in the NFL and in college football and in football in general as the predominant disruptor as a skill position player. They are causing the most headaches for defensive coordinators. They are too big for cornerbacks and safeties, and they're too fast for linebackers to properly cover 100% of the time. And that causes massive mismatches. And I think Kincaid, we saw it in points last year, and especially towards the end of the year, and then seeing yesterday, or hearing yesterday more or less, that when they were doing red zone work, Dalton Kincaid was a massive factor in that. They spread the ball around. Keon Coleman, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Tyrell Shavers, Justin Shorter, Frank Gore Jr., Ray Davis all had red zone touchdowns. Kincaid had three of them. Along with that, you add in guys like Shakir and Samuel, who everything I heard about yesterday looked very smooth. They look good. Everything looks, you know, relatively easy for them. They make it look easy, right? They're the typical slot receivers, technicians at their position. But if they have found something in Dalton Kincaid, and I wouldn't even say found something. I mean, when he was coming out of Utah, he was argued as the best hands in the draft, the best receiving prospect in the draft. He just happened to play tight end and not wide receiver. And this is with guys like, you know, Zay Flowers, Jordan Addison in his draft class. If they were proven correct in that, and he is the best receiving option in that draft class, and he's on the Bills, they have found something. The biggest issue from his season last year in terms of it, you know, I guess having more oomph to it, people praising it a little bit more, is the fact that he only had two touchdowns. If he had five, six in his rookie year, I think we're having a far different conversation about what Kincaid is going into year two. Because right now we're having to have, you know, go through like, well, in, you know, a 13-game run, he actually was on pace for like 113 targets. And so you look at that and, well, you know, he didn't get to play too much in the beginning of the year. It's a lot of that. Right? Where you look at guys, you know, maybe not a perfect example, but Odell Beckham Jr. missed, like, I think the first two or three games of his rookie year and then exploded. And basically no one remembers that he missed the opening part of his rookie season due to injury. Kincaid didn't miss it due to injury. He was just, you know, assimilating into the offense. I mean, they were getting more comfortable in using him, but eventually they do make the switch to Brady. But now, going into year two, having a space filled, or excuse me, vacated by the departures of Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis, I do see quite vividly someone like Dalton Kincaid filling that role and doing so younger, cheaper, and potentially even, not saying he's a better weapon than Stephon Diggs, but he is probably a better mismatch if he does enter that elite conversation. Because of the fact is, he's bigger. He causes more problems for cornerbacks or linebackers. He is not a blocking tight end. He is a wide receiver, essentially, in a tight end's body. That's how it's always been portrayed. And if he is going to be targeted as much as it seems like they wanted to at the end of last year, along with weapons like Khalil Shakir and Curtis Samuel, Shakir looks to be a steal in the fifth round. Even if he's just a solid slot receiver, he's probably then a steal in the fifth round. And then Curtis Samuel, who has just been a solid wide receiver his entire existence in the NFL, especially in his 1 year with Joe Brady, where Brady was able to get almost three guys towards 1,000 yards, Samuel finishing last with like 830. Just those three guys alone, you've maybe got something there. You're maybe cooking with something. Then you do add in the fact that you've got Keon Coleman. You do still have Dawson Knox, Marquez Valdes-Scantling. We'll see about Chase Claypool. He is practicing today, so that injury that he picked up towards the end of practice last night didn't really mean too much. And then you have James Cook and Ray Davis. And, of course, Josh Allen is your quarterback. Saw it yesterday. Three guys, Nate Tice, Matt Harmon, and Charles McDonald, rated their top 10 offenses. All three of them had the Bills in the top 10. Two were at 10. One was at 6. I think now that's clearly not out of their own possibilities. As well, we don't, you know, a lot of us are sitting here really breaking down the tape of Kincaid and Shakir and what have you. When I see people, you know, break down and go, yeah, they're probably, you know, in the 20s in terms of playmakers, it's because there's a lot of young guys. It's a lot of unproven guys up to this point. There's not a lot of named guys out there. The one maybe is Kincaid, where everything I see about him, including Mina Kimes, talked about how he's going to take over the role that Stephon Diggs had against man coverage because Kincaid was dominating against man coverage last year. Very quickly, the idea, the feelings on the Bills' receiving weapons could change massively. I'd even argue as well, they're better set up for what they wanted to do last year, which is the 12 personnel. Because last year, I don't think they were set up well for that at all. They did not have guys that could separate consistently enough, and well, we'll see about how that's going to be now with Keon Coleman. I will tell you, I'm still very nervous about his ability to separate. still very nervous. He was not able to do it at Florida State very much. He had to be a guy that had to go up and make contested catches because he wasn't open all the time. And then you do have Jordan Travis, who sometimes leaves a lot to be desired there as a quarterback. I like their weapons. I'm really growing to like this team as a whole. Because, again, it's something that is not flashy. It's not sexy. They did not do the big baller moves that gets the offseason in a frenzy where we all just can't wait for camp to start. There was some trepidation. But oftentimes, those are the better moves. The moves that just, on paper, are solid. Again, I said it yesterday. They have the hardest part done and dusted. Josh Allen is an elite quarterback, likely heading to the Hall of Fame when his career is all said and done. That's the hardest part. And they're not even having the conversation that a number of other teams are of, is he actually good enough to pay? Like, are we maybe jumping the gun here? Are we getting ahead of what could be a tough, contract negotiation next year, but we're still leery? Trevor Lawrence with Jacksonville, Tua Tagovailoa with Miami, Brock Purdy next year for San Francisco. Those teams are all very good, or could be very good. But they're having to get ahead of their contract negotiations with their quarterbacks. Or, well, in Miami's case, they've waited to the end. But they're trying to get ahead of them. But they still don't know. There is still an unknown factor. Where Allen, by year three, you knew. He was a gazelle when he ran, and then he figured out passing. And it was over with. Brock Purdy, he looks to be maybe even a clone of Jimmy Garoppolo. Their stats are strikingly similar. And Tua led the league in passing last year, and I don't think anyone ever at one point said he was the cog of the offense. It was the Tyreek Hills, the Jalen Waddles, and the Mike McDaniels scheme. I'm not saying they're perfect, not by any means. But I do think it is maybe a little short-sighted worrying so much about what their offense can be when, ultimately, look at the Houston Texans. A team that last year took the world by storm, and now this year they traded for Stephon Diggs. They look to take a massive step forward in year two for C.J. Stroud. Their number one guy, I think even heading into this year, Nico Collins, before his breakout last year, had never surpassed 500 yards in two seasons. Never. Not once. And then he breaks out for around 1,200 yards. I'm not saying Shakir's going to do that. I'm not saying Kincaid necessarily is going to do that. But we're having a very different conversation about the Bills' weapons if anyone takes a Nico Collins-type jump. If Khalil Shakir becomes kind of like the Bills' version of Amon-Ra St. Brown. Not saying he's going to be him. He put up 1,500 yards last year. I'm not saying that. But if he puts up 900 yards, 6-7 scores, 90 catches, We're having a different conversation about Shakir. Kincaid goes over 1,000 yards, has 100 catches. We're having a very different conversation. And we'll have that conversation, about halfway through the year. But let's go to training camp right now on the Western Hotline. Our own Sal Capaccio joins the show. Sal, how's the start of day two? What's going on? How are the vibes?
You know what? A lot of fans out here, of course. And literally just as you were bringing me on, Dalton Kincaid made a really nice one-handed catch in these. It's just quarterback to receiver, quarterback to tight end, actually, I should say right now. The quarterbacks are all working with the tight ends, and I don't see any running backs out here, so it's just tight end work. And Dalton Kincaid just made a really nice one-handed catch on an out route.
How's the weather, by the way? I saw a tweet from Paul yesterday, and he came on at 6, and it was a monsoon out there. I felt terrible because when Alex Brasky came on, I was like, yeah. I'm not saying I'm rooting for rain, but I'm a little jealous.
Don't say that. We don't want the rain out here. But it was last night we kind of got caught in it a little bit. Made out for dinner with some people, and on the way back it was raining. It was kind of off and on a little bit. But weather's been great first 2 days out here at camp. Weather's been great. And the, team on the field again. I'm trying to give you an idea, give a picture, a scene setter of everybody out here. If you're at the main field, quarterbacks are working with tight ends right now right in the middle. Here's Dalton Kincaid again down the seam. You hear some collapse in the background anytime that happens, obviously. Nice catch there. Offensive line working in the end zone. Then on the far field, the defense is working. On the far field, the defense is working over there. And I don't know if they're hitting some bags right now and doing some different things, but they'll come together here in a little while. So you got offense on one field, defense on the other right now.
And on the defense, I haven't been able to get to it, but I have seen some reports that DeMar Hamlin is now no longer with the ones. Mike Edwards is back. Is that true in terms of the safeties?
I'll take a look when they go more 11 on 11 and stuff. Sometimes they you know, they kind of rotate in and out the pre-practice stuff. So I wouldn't be surprised because, you know, it was a day of last week, you know, yesterday kind of giving DeMar a little nod maybe of, you know, his work in the offseason and the fact that Edwards was still kind of recovering. We'll know for sure when they do a little more offense versus defense later. But it wouldn't surprise me if that's the case.
I guess on Hamlin, though, as well, what have you seen, Sal, from like the little we've been able to see, you know, at OTAs, mandatory OTAs, what have you, from him? He was somebody that had to step in now, what is it, 2 years ago, and played particularly well before his injury against Cincinnati. Last year, it kind of felt like more of a recovery year. I don't want to say, you know, people were kind of taking a year off with him because of his injury, but it kind of felt like he was a bit of an afterthought. But he did play particularly well that year when he had to step in. I think he had like 90 tackles. Yeah. It never felt like Hamlin was somewhere where you were kind of nervous he was on the field.
No, you know, he played well. The difference was they had a few times where they got beat a little more deep when he was on the field versus Poirier and Hyde. Right? I think that's the difference. This defense is structured to keep kind of everything in front of you, that everything, you know, they don't give up big plays. And I think there were a few more of those than normal with when DeMar was on the field, but it wasn't like it was every game or anything like that. But if you remember back then, I think Miami had a couple of them. There was just some that happened during games. I think that's the thing. He doesn't have those elite athletic traits like Micah Hyde or Jordan Poyer, right? But he knows the defense. He's smart. He's been here 4 years. And I keep telling people, like, this team, you can't afford to go out there and get, like, big names and sign all these guys. Justin Simmons out there. I mean, DeMar Hamlin's on a rookie contract still. This team has to have some cheap labor, kind of, so to speak, and especially guys who know what they're doing on cheaper contracts.
Yeah, absolutely. I forget he's only been here for 4 years, but the Pat Narduzzi system does fit a lot of what Sean McDermott likes to do, so it makes sense why they go the Pittsburgh route as much as they do, the University of Pitt. Sal, real quick before I let you go here, on the offense, I've been talking a lot about how much even before camp started, how much I think the Bills really want to get to a point where they are just not favoring one guy. I think they got too much in that. I would even say over the last two years with Stephon Diggs. What did you see from yesterday? Because reading your piece and hearing you talk with Sean Bulldog yesterday as well, just how much in the red zone work they were targeting different guys. How much did you see of that yesterday? Yeah. Like, does it really feel like it's just, you know, everyone shares the wealth?
100% concentrated effort on this, right? I think that it's, hey, we're all here. It's not about one guy getting a bunch of targets or two guys getting all the targets. It's about everybody getting a lot of targets. And, you know, we're going to go to the open guy. And we're all going to share in it. We're all going to celebrate when that happens. And there were so many touchdowns scored by so many people yesterday. It was definitely, to me, a concerted effort, a concentration on doing that, and it worked out on day number one. You know, we'll see if it carries over here to day two. Usually you're not going to do the red zone work the same way on day two after you did day one. So, you know, we'll kind of get a feel for it today and see where they're at.
And then actually, last thing, we're going to listen back to Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady here in the second hour, but I'm assuming you were there with the media. Did he kind of give anything away, anything interesting, any nuggets?
No, not necessarily, other than, you know, just, yeah, you know, it's, they are, you know, trust the process, right? It's process over results. He said, I asked him what he's looking for in guys like the backup running back position. What are you looking for to separate? He said, listen, you know, when the pads come on, that's the thing with running backs especially. But it's an overall point of, he said, I want to make sure they're doing everything the right way. Even if the result works out, if you didn't do the right technique, that's not a good rep. Or if the result doesn't work out, but you had the right technique, that's a good rep. You know, and that's what they're looking for here. That's what this time period is for before they really, you know, get the pads on. Then when they get the pads on, the same thing. And that's kind of the overall theme of the offense and really this coaching staff.
All right, Sal, thank you so much. We'll let you get back to practice, and we'll see if we'll hear from you later on in the show.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, that was our own Sal Capaccio there on the West Her Hotline. Practice is officially underway, but of course in the beginning, it's a lot of, you know, individual work, stretching, what have you. Nothing too noteworthy. I do love, though, that the moment he came on, Dalton Kincaid makes a one-handed catch. I'm very, very excited for his season. I do think tight ends are becoming kind of this new age, huge difference maker for good teams. I think it has been for a number of years as well. I mean, Lamar Jackson has won two MVPs with effectively no-name wide receivers and Mark Andrews. I think the Chiefs have been able to win two Super Bowls in a row with bad wide receiving rooms, but Travis Kelce at tight end. You also then go, you know, to the 2017 Eagles teams with, you know, Alshon Jeffrey and Nelson Agholor, but Zach Ertz in a pretty darn good running game. And they go out there and they win it with Nick Foles. And I think that was even like the start of this. You go also to San Francisco with George Kittle and how important overall he is to everything that they do. I think tight ends have really developed into a very, very important position for NFL offenses, especially elite NFL offenses to have. Honestly, the team I may be most interested in seeing that I think has no hopes of doing anything really all that great this year, but I think they could be a mismatch problems for a number of teams, are actually the Vegas Raiders, with them drafting Michael Mayer and then Brock Bowers in back-to-back drafts. I think that is going to be maybe something interesting to look for them. If, you know, neither of those two are going to necessarily be fantasy darlings, but with, you know, how highly touted Mayer was coming out of Notre Dame, and then Brock Bowers potentially being the greatest college tight end of all time, and they have both those guys on the same roster. I mean, you talk about 12 personnel. That offense could be a real, real problem, especially Gardner Minshew. Not a bad quarterback by any means. I'm more or less just kind of leery on the Raiders as a whole. I think it's kind of a broken system. I don't really like anything they do over there. I'm not somebody that's going to, you know, listen to the rah-rah days of Al Davis and talk about how great he was. Having not lived through it, I look at the Al Davis days a lot like I look at the Mike Ditka days of the Chicago Bears, in which, oh, you lucked into a lot of this because this is clearly not well run by any means. And I equate it to the, kind of the same thing with Mark Davis. I don't think he runs a very good ship over there. And it's just it does not look good, but that is something I find quite interesting. Gardner Minshew with two potentially elite tight ends plus Davante Adams, they might be something that is just causes some teams problems, but win like seven games at most. I don't really see much else after that. I don't really like much of their roster. But on to that point, the Bills maybe don't have as straight up talented as tight ends as the Raiders do. I love that tight end room maybe almost too much. But when you do add a Dawson Knox, who has shown he can make big plays and is a very good target for Allen when he has to improvise. That was, you know, his big pop-off year. Knox was one of his best improvised targets. And then you add in a Kincaid into year two, much more comfortable, along with, you know, two really good slot receivers as well. They may not go deep all that much this year, outside of to maybe guys like Marquez Valdes-Scantling or Chase Claypool. But they, I think, have the ability to dominate the middle of the field. I really, really do. This is a team I think that is going to want to kill teams, death by a thousand cuts kind of deal, and just long, sustained drives, smart plays, with big plays coming from just breaking things over the middle. Kincaid, Knox, Samuel, and Shakir, all relatively fast for their positions. I think it's going to be very, very, very interesting going forward, and I think it is led by Kincaid, even though I don't think they're going to necessarily have a clear-cut one guy that's, you know, getting 150 targets in a season, a lot like Stephon Diggs was. If Kincaid, though, winds up with like 120 and like 85 to 90 catches, I think it's a wonderful season. If he has 100 catches, that's even better. but I don't necessarily think they're going to need a number one. I think they are going to just be pretty darn solid at wide receiver. And again, that's not the sexiest thing to say. It's not great. There is a lot more uncertainty than there were in years past. But I think the only certain thing in the last 2 years was that Stephon Diggs was still a darn good wide receiver. After that, it was huge question marks, if not glaring and uncomfortable question marks, a la Gabe Davis. Is he actually the number two, or are they just favoring a guy that they drafted? I tend to agree with the latter. I think they were just favoring a guy that they drafted and were hoping and praying that that Chiefs game, they could kind of, you know, bottle it up and get, you know, a guy that could get, you know, arguably 1,000 yards, you know, catch the ball 75-80% of the time and feel comfortable with him getting open regularly and never really challenging Diggs, and they never got that. They got a guy who every few games would pop off, and then the other ones, he would have like 3 targets in 4 games. And that's just, that's unsustainable. And then you look at the free agent acquisitions they picked up. It was a lot of questionable guys, but guys that could pop. And then when they didn't, they were non-factors. I don't think the Bills have any non-factors right now in terms of that core group of wide receivers. Guys like Mac Hollins or Chase Claypool maybe are on the outs. But in terms of that core group, I think it's a lot of guys who have shown in the NFL that they can produce and produce at a pretty good level. Not necessarily all pro level. I'm not saying that they're going to wind up on the NFL's top 100 players. I don't really think they necessarily need to do so. The Bengals were as good as they were with their group because they already had T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd and then added Ja'Marr Chase. But it wasn't like they had all those guys, they drafted them together, what have you, and it just, oh, it worked out perfect. It was, they already had a pretty good room, and they decided to add Chase, namely because he's an incredible talent, but also he played in college with Joe Burrow. It was a perfect marriage. But you look at Minnesota, Kirk Cousins and Justin Jefferson went down, and they won games. The quarterback one is stunning. I mean, you have Josh Dobbs out there playing pretty well. I think Nick Mullins got in at some point, too. But without Justin Jefferson, they were still winning games. I think that should say a lot about how important the true X number one elite wide receiver is. Hell, the Bills were winning games and winning a lot of games last year when Diggs essentially became a non-factor. Going to take a quick timeout here. When we come back, we're going to kind of continue on with this offensive talk. I find it fascinating just where this Bills offense is. We're going to hear from the offensive coordinator, Joe Brady, here at the 11 o'clock hour. But what are your thoughts on the Bills offense? Does this team even need a number one wide receiver? I personally don't think so. I think Kincaid, Shakir, Samuel, maybe tossing a little bit of Coleman, Knox, and the running backs can get this done, especially when you have a quarterback like Josh Allen. We've seen it from a number of teams in the NFL. You don't need that number one wide receiver. If anything, it is sometimes better to not have one and instead have a ton of really good guys. 803-0550 is the number to call if you'd like to join the show. Zach Jones here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show until 12 o'clock. You're listening to WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.